Blog Talk Radio.
You hear that, Mike? You hearing the song, Mike? You hearing the song, Mike?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
What kind of love would bear my sin? Redeem my soul from all of him. To call an enemy a friend. This love I cannot comprehend. Jesus did it all for me. Yes, he's the one of whom I speak. His sacrifice was so great. His mission was to save. So he died on Calvary. Yes, he
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He did it just for me. He loved me unconditionally. He loves you unconditionally. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. As my sister sings that song, he did it just for me. He was born in the manger just for me. He was born in Bethlehem just for me. He rose just for me. He has given us an opportunity today that our names could be written down in the Lamb's book. So a gift is not a gift unless you receive it. God has given us a gift in his Son, Jesus Christ. The Word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever perish, but have everlasting life. Glory, 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 hallelujah. So you have to reach out and take it, my brother. Forgiveness, love, redemption, everything is given unto you. You have to just receive it by faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the Way, the Truth, and Life Tabernacle, transmitting from Fort Pierce, Florida, on Block Talk Radio. Hallelujah. We are not time setters, but, you know, the question is, what do we expect next? Last week, we had Sister Lo, and she spoke about faith. This week, we're going to have Brother Cobb, and he's going to speak about hope, and he's going to share with us, thus says the Lord, glory be to the Lord. Let me give you a little disclaimer, and that is that the songs that we play here, like Just For Me, do not belong to my pastor. They don't belong to the church, and they don't belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists, but because we bought the DVDs, we have permission in them to use their songs. Glory to the Lord for that open door. Hallelujah. A little itinerary of the church. Every Sunday at 7 p.m., we have the Bible Mystery, and we give out a question, and you come up with the correct answer. Then the church will mail you out a free, beautiful, colorful, accordion-style pamphlet of the tabernacle. And we recommend that you keep in your Bible, so when you go out to appointments and you're waiting to be called, you could study that tabernacle. Glory be to the Lord. That was a portable tabernacle that the Jewish people used to build when the cloud by day will stop, and then they will take it down when the cloud will be moving. Glory. That was a temporary temple that the Lord, that they had, was called the Tent of Meetings. And now these days, Paul asks a question, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? So no longer God lives in tents made with man's hand, but he lives within us. You just have to believe. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And I would recommend that you could invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. If you have any questions, comments, or testimonies, we would ask the program. We don't want to interrupt the class that's going to be given unto us today. And I would venture to say that you should take your notepad, your pens, and get ready to receive the Word of God as the Lord has given to Brother Mike Cobb. At this time, Brother Mike Cobb is from Grace Church. He's an elder there, and he's going to give us a presentation that's within us. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And unto then, may the Lord bless you. Brother Cobb, are you there?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Praise God. The mic is yours, Brother Cobb. We're not going to take any questions to the end of the program, if there's any, okay? Just go on with your presentation. God bless.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Carlos. Let me first of all thank Pastor Carlos for having me tonight and for allowing me to share what God has placed on my heart. There are several basic axioms in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that point to how we should conduct our lives. And the first thing that I want to share with you tonight is that we all should show kindness. We should show forgiveness. We should show a redemption for others, in which all three of these axioms lead to the great hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And so I want to give you two instances tonight, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, which show all three of these concepts of kindness, forgiveness, redemption, and they all lead to hope. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9, and we're going to go through verses 1 through 13. I'm going to give you a chance to send to turn there right now. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. Okay, let me give you a little background on what is occurring in this particular chapter. This is at the time when King David had defeated all his enemies, and he has established the kingdom of Israel once and for all. We do realize that King Saul at this point has been deceased. Pursuit that Saul had of David is no longer there. And so King David basically wants to show kindness and forgiveness and redemption to members of Saul's house. So if we go ahead and look at the scripture here. This is David's kindness to Mephibosheth. Now, there's a name for you. But this shows his kindness. And I'm going to read here in chapter 9, verse 1. And David said, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now, Jonathan was Saul's son, and it was David's lifelong best friend. And they were brothers, they were covenant brothers in blood. And Jonathan had several times had saved David when his father was pursuing David. And so David wants to show kindness to Jonathan if there are any of his relatives still alive. Now, verse 2. Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "Yes, I am your servant." And the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." And the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lodabar." And I'm going to stop there. What has happened here is that King David has put out an announcement to tell or to actually to inquire if any of Jonathan or any of Saul's house is still alive. And there is a son of Jonathan, whose name is Mephibosheth, who is still alive, and he's dwelling in the land of Lodabar. Let me give you a little background there. With Mephibosheth, his very name means shame, confusion, and disgrace. And where he's living is in Lodabar. And Lodabar means a place of no pasture. Now, I think we can start seeing how this applies to us today. We have, before we come to Christ Jesus, we are in a land of Lodabar. We are lost. We are in a place of no pasture. And our names may as well be disgrace, confusion. And so what David is doing here now, he's reaching out to the son of Jonathan. And then David, verse 5 here, then David sent and brought him to the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lodabar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face, paid homage, and David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always." And he paid homage and said, what is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I? Now, let's bring that to us. Are we not dead in our sins and our trespasses before we come to God? So what I'm really trying to get at here is to show you that David is rather like a prefiguration of Christ. He has the ability to forgive. He has the ability to show kindness, and he has the ability to give redemption to Mephibosheth. So now we're in verse 9, and verse 9 says, "Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, all that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And Ziba said to the king, "According to all my lord, the king commands this his servant, so will your servant do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both feet. Now we see here some symbolism. As I had said previously, Mephibosheth's name means disgrace. It means confusion and shame. And as I said, before we come to Jesus Christ, before he apprehends us, basically, we are like Mephibosheth. We are in a land of no pasture, and we are all crippled in our sins. But when we do come, when we do receive the grace that God gives us through Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, we have become people who eat at the king's table. And we are given kindness. We are given forgiveness. We are given redemption. And that leads to our hope. And that is the hope that we have in the Son of God. And so what we have seen basically tonight is just a picture of what our life was like before we came to Jesus Christ. And it is given so very clearly here in this relationship that David has and is now implementing his kindness and goodness and redemption to Mephibosheth. So I hope you can take that to heart and to see. And if you wanted to pursue this story and this account of David and Mephibosheth, you can read on in 2 Samuel, because this is not the end of the story. Okay? Now, that's my presentation for the instance of forgiveness and kindness and redemption leading to hope from the Old Testament. Now, I want to cover the same subject in the New Testament. So, again, you have your Bibles. Would you please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and we're going to go over verses 1 through 11, and this shows the very, very clear picture of Jesus and his relationship that he wants to have with us. So again, we're on chapter 8 in the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 8. Let me give you a little background here. Jesus was in constant turmoil with the Pharisees and the scribes, and they often would bring difficulties and problems to him so they could entrap him in order to have charges brought against him in order to see that he somehow is breaking the law of Moses, that he is not living the life that is prescribed in the law. So what we're going to see here is that the same instance occurs. The Pharisees are trying to entrap Jesus. And so let's read here in the very first verse. It says they went each to his own house. And basically that means that Jesus was teaching a group and they left to go to their own houses. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down, and he taught them. So they had come back to hear the teaching of Jesus, because Jesus taught with authority and not like the Pharisees. And so people were beginning to understand and to open their hearts to what the message of salvation, which was in Jesus Christ and which is in Jesus Christ. But here we have in verse 3, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery. Now, in the law of Moses, commanded us to stone such women. What do you say?" And this they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against Jesus. But Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. Now, let me give you a little bit of background here. And what we have here is the Pharisees bringing a woman that was caught in adultery. Now, I'm going to surmise here and say that she was probably set up, that the Pharisees knew what they were doing, and they set her up for this instance of adultery. And they were asking Jesus, "What does the law of Moses say?" Well, they obviously don't know the law of Moses, because what the law of Moses said is that both adulterers will be brought before the crowd and stoned. So where is the man? Where is the man? Obviously, he was not brought before Jesus, only the woman. And they did this to the woman to disgrace her, to show her sin, which Jesus was already aware of, clearly. And so they brought this woman, and what they're trying to do is to entrap Jesus. For if he says, "Okay, go ahead and stone her," he's breaking the law of the Romans, because the Jews had no right to put anyone to death, as we clearly see later on when in the trial of Jesus before Pontius Pilate. And so they could not kill Jesus. And in the same instance here, the law of the Romans says they can't kill anyone. And so if Jesus said, "Yes, go ahead and stone her," and then he would be breaking Roman law. But if he upheld the law of Moses, which is only partially presented here, and he would be destroying and killing a woman who was not alone in this adultery. All right. So what does Jesus do? They continued to, he bent down and he wrote in the dust with his finger on the ground. In verse 7, and as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to him, to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." Wow, that's an amazing thing, because in reality, everyone there in that crowd, including the woman who had committed adultery, had committed sin. The Pharisees, the scribes, all the people listening, The only one there who was without sin was Jesus Christ himself. And so he was never going to pick up a stone to throw at her, you know. He was the only one who had the right to do that. So they were trying to entrap him, and he turned on them the very concept of what they were doing. But when, in verse 9, it says, but when they heard it, the Pharisees and the scribes, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. And Jesus, in verse 10, Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Now, I want to bring something to very clear here to you. Jesus never just says, oh, well, that's okay. You know, your sins are forgiven, and, you know, that's all right. What you did was fine, you know, blah. And, of course, that is not what he said. That is not what he said. He said, you should go now. I do not condemn you. You go now and sin no more. Now, it is obvious what Jesus has done here. He has shown tremendous kindness, and he has forgiven, and he is the only one who could forgive entirely and cleanse an individual that leads to redemption. Turn leads to hope. And that is the message that I want to leave with you tonight, that we are like, at times, we are like the Pharisees. We are self-righteous, and we need to be forgiven. We need to be forgiven of our sins of self-righteousness. And we are also like the woman. We are clearly sinners. And the only way back to our relationship with God is through the blood of Jesus Christ, which he shed on the cross. And he brought our redemption through his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. And so I want you to take this to heart tonight and go back and reexamine these scriptures and take them to heart and make them part of your very being, because the Word of God is that way. It is so, so vibrant and alive. And so I thank you tonight for listening to me. And I want to again thank Pastor Carlos for having me. And I just pray blessings on everyone who is listening tonight. Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyone have any questions, please call in, and Elder Mike Cobb would answer that question as the Holy Spirit gives him. In the meantime, Brother Cobb, I will ask you a question while we wait and see if anybody calls.
Okay.
Here, something when I study that also, and that is, we, let's say a person who doesn't know Jesus yet, they find themselves in a despair state because they see what's going on in the world right now, and they're not 100% sure what they got to do in order to receive the kindness, forgiveness, and redemption that's in Christ, for they could make themselves acceptable unto the Lord, so he could not be lost. What is it that they're looking for?
They're looking for hope, as we all are. But what they have to understand is that there's nothing they need to do except to come to Christ and accept his free gift of forgiveness and eternal life. They don't have to clean themselves up. He doesn't require that. He will meet you exactly where you are in your life. So there's no need to to feel like you're unworthy, because before we come to Christ, we are all unworthy, but he does not condemn us for our unworthiness, because he will make us worthy. So I hope that answers that a bit.
Yeah, I just need to follow up on that. What do you mean I don't have to do anything? I've never been to church. I don't know anything about God. How should he extend that forgiveness to me, a richer man that I am?
Well, I would say again that you can speak to him. You can talk with God. He doesn't need a formal prayer. He wants you to speak to him as a person, a human being. Talk with him. Talk with him and ask him what to do, because he will answer your questions. So I think, and also possibly you may have run into someone who has perhaps spoken with you about God before, and go to that person and help and ask them to help you.
And how important is it for me to, after I do those steps, to attend a church or a fellowship?
It's very important for in a Bible believing church like both as Grace Church is, you will hear the word of God, and the word of God will stir your heart and will enliven you and give you knowledge, so you can, in fact, surrender. And that's what it's about, to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And that is only going to come through the study of the Word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that is what my suggestion would be.
God, praise God. Now, before I go into something I want to share, why don't you help me? There might be somebody out there who doesn't know the Lord, and they don't know what to say. They don't know what to pray for. Could you help me out with a prayer so maybe they could receive it and make their salvation sure?
I sure will. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord God, Father God, our great God, our only God, we pray in the name of Jesus for you to send the Holy Spirit to touch lives who have no idea who you are. Lord, we long to have people come to you. Our hearts are full in order to give to people who do not know you eternal life that is only in Christ Jesus. So we would pray for the people who do not know you. Lord, help them to understand that they can come to you just the way they are. They don't need to clean themselves up, because you will redeem them. You will show them kindness, and you will forgive. And so, Lord God, tonight, please, please honor this prayer. And we ask this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our life. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. You heard it right here. You don't have to do anything but believe. Come unto him. Or you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Brother Mike, when I was looking at this, that intrigued me as to what did Jesus write on. And I don't have to buy the other book, look it up. But I remember when they quoted the law of Moses, they said the law of Moses causes us to stone her. I'll get you the chapter and the verse when I see you on Sunday. But
okay.
In Deuteronomy says, just like you said, they both should be stoned to death.
Absolutely.
However, in Jeremiah, when you look in Jeremiah, the reason Jesus wrote on the dust is because in Jeremiah it says anyone who does things that are against the things of the Lord, to write their name down on the dirt.
Exactly.
As a confirmation. So Jesus was writing the name of the people that were there. You know, that's why they left from the oldest one to the youngest. Because they saw what he was fighting.
Yeah, it's very obvious. And I was going to say that, you know, that it's not only was my, you know, I surmise that exactly what he was doing. We have confirmation in Jeremiah, in the scripture, that name would be written in the dust. And that's why the men left. He was probably in the crowd. That's what I'm thinking. And he was probably in that crowd. Now, again, that's not scripturally accurate, or that's not backed up by scripture. That is just my opinion. So you have to think maybe I'm right, maybe I'm not right, but I think I am. I think Jesus wrote the man's name down according
that's
to scripture.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Bible says it in the New Testament, Paul wrote, the things of God was revealed to us by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
So
amen.
I agree with what you said, that he was in the crowd and he was one of them who left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you notice what the Bible says. It says from the oldest one left first.
To the youngest.
So they saw the names down. You know, they saw
mm-hmm.
the name up. They didn't want no part of that. They didn't want to be embarrassed. They didn't want this person to highlight their life also. Because Jesus knew exactly what each of them did.
Absolutely. And, you know, Pastor, they came to the realization that they were breaking the law of Moses. Because they didn't bring the other adulterer into the crowd. He was there, but they never disclosed who it was. So they broke the law. So
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible. Well, mm-hmm. I thank you very much, Elder Cobb, for what you brought to us today. We're going to hold that in our hearts and apply this so we too could walk. Redemption is very important because I read somewhere that we need to forgive others, you know,
absolutely.
In order for
we won't be forgiven. If we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven. That's clear
right.
in the scripture. So
we can't hold nothing against no one. Not even our enemy. He said, "Turn the other cheeks." So you know,
amen.
We can't hold nothing against the enemy. We ought to forgive.
That's right. He says. We are the only group of people in the world, the Christians, that say, pray for your enemies, do good to those who hate you. And that is an axiom that no other religion, if you want to call Christianity a religion, I call it a movement. I call it a movement to God and for God and by God. But in fact, we are the only people who believe that you do good to your enemies. So
it's so for the goodness of the Lord, you know.
Amen.
The Word of God tells us in Psalms that once we tasted of the Lord, you know, oh my goodness, you know, He sealed us with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption.
Absolutely. Yeah. Taste and see that it is good.
That's right. And he calls us to be in the kingdom of his son, and out of the kingdom of darkness, he made us his we are now sons and daughters of the Most High God through Christ.
Yes.
Which is, you know, Brother Cobb, you know, I talk to some of my brothers and sisters, and I say, I understand, you know, that we are sinners and all that, but we have to be careful about false humility, because if
That's
we look
it.
At the way God looks at us now,
right?
You know, Peter gave us an example. Peter gave us an example in 1 Peter 4 and 18. He says, if the righteous scarcely make it in, where would the sinners and the disobedient appear? So are we righteous, are we sinners, or are we disobedient? According to what the scripture tells us in the New Testament, we are righteous because in 1 Corinthians 5:21, I believe, he, became sin who knew no sin, that we may become
in the righteousness of God. Yes.
That's right. And you know, he calls us ambassadors, and he calls us in many beautiful names, because he looked at us and he said he doesn't see the sin that we used to bathe in. He sees us now in Christ Jesus. He sees.
Absolutely.
And I just thank
the
Lord for that. Yes.
Amen.
I thank the
Amen.
Lord for that, for kindness, for forgiveness, for redemption, you know, and I prayed and I agree with your prayer, and if we could all apply those three things and live by them, you know, this world will be a better place. There wouldn't
Amen.
Be wars like the way that there's wars in the Middle East, riots in the streets like they are now. If everybody could forgiveness and redemption, you know, and think about those things. You know, this afternoon I was doing my devotional and I was listening to this song that Sister Lo brought to the church called Holy Forever. And I sang that song. I heard it on the radio and I couldn't do but just cry, because I was thinking
Amen.
Of the Lord. Holy Amen. Forever. Oh my goodness. You know, I just thank the Lord that we
Praise
serve
God.
A living and a true God, you know?
Yeah.
There are
yes.
2,400 religions out there, but there's only one empty grave. Hallelujah.
That's it. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
So what we're going to do, we, Mac, you're welcome to come at any time here to Blog Talk Radio and present your teaching. Just let me know. We'll
okay.
set it up like we did today.
All right.
And I'm sure the people that are listening, because we have a lot of listeners, but they don't, you know, they don't raise their hand. I see the telephone numbers on the studio here, but I don't see no raised hand. So they don't want to speak. They're listening, but it's okay that they listen. Because
that's okay. Sure.
The word of God comes to their spirit, their soul, and their heart and their mind, so they could apply it and live holy and righteous before God. So I thank the Lord for your teaching, because it's right. It goes along with the main topic. What's next? Hope is what's next. If we could have hope, stand upon above hope, right? That's what the word says. Hope upon
Amen.
Hope. Amen.
Hope
and
upon
we
hope.
Just
Amen.
That's right. And we just continue. It reminds me of the lady who just touched the hem of his garment. She was
Amen.
The hope. She had that faith, and she said, "If I could only touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed." And sure enough, you know. So I just I pray. If there's someone out there who has a question, you could call in, or if you want to send a message to the church, it's www.tabernacle@gmail.com, and we would answer the question and send it forward. I checked the chat room, so I'll leave that alone for now. Could also call the pastor after the program is over at 8 o'clock at 726-3178. And don't forget, we'll be back on, today is Thursday. We'll be back on Sunday at 5 Mystery. And the question for the Bible mystery is, what was our schoolmaster? What was our schoolmaster? So study your word of God, and on Sunday, give me the answer. And I have a couple of points that I give you a hint, but I won't give you the answer. I want you to find the answer for yourself, and that's how you're going to learn. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And then on Tuesday, we have intercessory prayer. You're welcome to come on Blog Talk, 516-418-5944, and join the prayer service as well. And then next Thursday, we'll have another Bible study. Any final words, Brother Cobb, Elder Cobb?
Just again, I want to convey blessings on the people who listened tonight, and I want to thank you again, Pastor Carlos, for allowing me to bring God's word to the people. And I just feel that alive in Christ, and I want other people to realize that they are, in fact, when they come to Jesus Christ, a new creation. They are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Everything is new, and that is their hope. So that's all I have.
Praise God, praise God. Here, you have no excuse. Without excuse, heard the word of God. Elder Cobb gave us the word of God as the Spirit gave it unto him. So you could call 516-418-5944. But until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Brother, I ended the program.
Okay.
So, Brother Cobb, thank you very much.